AfterBuzz TV. It's Ringside Pop. You know it don't stop. With links to the business of everything that's hot. Call it Ringside Pop. You know it don't stop. With the flicks to the business of everything that's hot. Welcome to Ringside Pop with Kia Stevens, Marty Elias, and Dale Rutledge.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. It's time to get rowdy right here on Ringside Pop. Today we're discussing the UK indie scene and the effect that WWE has had on that movement. The scene in the UK caught fire about 3 or 4 years ago now, with the likes of ICW, Progress Wrestling, Rev Pro, and many more making their mark. Stateside, though, the scene was thrust into the limelight this past January via the WWE UK tournament, a two-night special event live from Blackpool. I had the privilege of attending Rev Pro, the Kurt Angle vs. Zack Sabre Jr., the aforementioned WWE UK tournament, and most recently, Progress 50. And I gotta tell y'all, the hype is real. But what is it that makes the indie scene so special? Is it lightning in a bottle? And what has the WWE effect been since the advent of NXT and the network specials like the CWC and the Mae Young Classic coming up? Well, we have another amazing panel today to debate all this and more, but a first. Who better to give us a first-hand look at the UK indie scene than the inaugural WWE UK champion and tournament winner, Tyler Bate, and his fellow UK competitor and tag team partner, Trent Seven. I sat down with these two at Progress 50 in Camden with UK's very own wrestling genius of the meme category, Tom Anstey. And we talked life in wrestling 2017. Take a listen.
So here we are, Progress Wrestling in Camden, Electric Ballroom.
Progress.
Progress.
There we go.
Progress Wrestling. Is that? I'll work on it. I'm here with Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. How's it going, guys?
Very well. How are you, Tyler?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Really well, thanks.
Good.
I'm not depressed. I'm actually probably depressed.
Did you lose?
Yeah, I'm no longer.
I've got no more belts.
I've got nothing.
He did just walk out and say, I'm looking for my belt, and he looked really sad.
Yeah, you did look really disparaged there when we first saw you.
I worried for a second you'd like hit your head really hard.
I think I probably did.
Yeah.
I think it was probably Chris Brooks and a chair. I felt it in my loins, guys. I felt it in my loins.
Good. You can say balls on here.
I felt it in my balls, boys. Felt it right down deep in my purple hazy balls.
Well, glad we got that out in the beginning.
Yeah. Mm.
So how has life been? I mean, I got to see you guys. I came out here for the UK tournament, and it was fantastic. And it's been a crazy ride, I would have to imagine, for both of you. But what's the difference between, say prior to January, and here we are 6 months later?
I'm rich now.
He now votes Tory.
No. No, not by any stretch of the imagination, but you know what, like, there's no denying the fact that every single time we come to the Progress shows or the smaller independents, it just brings you straight back to, like, how much you actually love wrestling. Do you know what I mean? Some of it does get a little bit lost in the big arena shows, which doesn't take away from the actual experience, but when you're used to wrestling with fans on the side of the ring.
It's just the intimacy multiplies it by so much.
Yeah. So that's what we miss. Obviously, like going and doing like the SmackDown tours and like the NXT stuff. NXT is a little bit different. It's still a little bit more of an independent hardcore crowd. But the big arena tours, it's like it's loud and stuff, and everyone. It's the most incredible experience we've ever had. But you do miss that little bit of intimacy.
Yeah, like the big arena shows, you kind of see pockets of people just scattered around the place, and it looks like they're making noise. You can see them jumping around and waving their hands. Yeah, right. You can't actually hear anything.
Hopefully, cheering.
Yeah. I'm like, I hope they're cheering for me.
Like to think that, like at somewhere like the Hydro, there's probably a 50 meter gap between you and the back row.
Right.
So trying to understand that and portray it through to your wrestling style as well, rather than wrestling in a room with, you know, 500 to 1,000 people crammed in who can see, touch, feel everything. Trying to express professional wrestling to someone 50 meters away. Do you know what I mean? That's how you. That was the true thing that I. You know, the best skill I. You know, I think we learned. from doing the bigger shows.
You know what, I think I met you both on the same day about 3 years ago, and I was saying to Dale earlier, when I met you, you didn't even have a beard. Either of you.
No.
Did you both have moustaches?
Mm-hmm. If it was about 3 years ago, I had a moustache.
Yeah, I remember I met you.
Since I was 16 years old.
I remember I met you and I was like, are you coming out afterwards? And you were like, I'm not old enough. I was like, oh, you bastard, why are you so talented? I think, but like in 3 years, it's the progression has been unreal for you two.
Of the beard.
Yeah, of the beard, the beard specifically. But
in facial hair fashion.
Yeah, facial hair fashion. And
I'd say it's like Christmas East time 2013.
I think it all started kicking off a bit more when Fight Club Pro was doing the whole collab stuff with Chikara.
Yeah, that was very important.
Because you both went over to the US, didn't you?
Yeah. And we very gratefully competed and won the Campeonato de Parejas, which is a fantastic honour. That was our first tag team titles, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So, yeah, that was incredible. And King of Trios, maybe that was the one that really...
Kind of lit it on fire?
I think so.
Face off with the Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah, it was like that was the semi-final match of like me, him and Dan Maloney.
And that was AJ that was and AJ. The Bucks, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so the ultimate Bullet Club, some would say.
Almost the Super Club, yeah.
Yeah, the Super Bullet Club.
You'd have added Pete Dunne to our side and Kenny Omega to the other side. But, incredible.
I mean, is it kind of weird now because this crowd, I mean, you guys are so heel-ish now here, and then you go to somewhere like TakeOver Chicago, and the crowd couldn't be more into you. I mean, is that weird, or is it kind of cool that you get to play both sides?
I think it's good, man. Like,
But then I don't really change who I am.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about it.
Whether I'm in progress getting booed and people hate me, or whether I'm at NXT Chicago, like I'm still doing the exact same stuff that I would.
No matter where you are, either way.
It's all just the intentions behind what you're doing. That's all that matters, really.
Yeah.
So
what's your biggest advice for Tom here, who's trying to get into wrestling in the ring now?
Training and everything. It's terrifying, isn't it? When are we having our match, by the way?
Genuinely.
Oh, he's backed away. He's walked off. Oh, he's left the room.
I think the two best tips I ever heard with anyone ever told me was learn everything, no matter whether you like doing it or not. Because at some point, you're going to wrestle someone down the line who does that. And you need to be able to know how it works. Whether you can actually do it or not, you should try and learn every single style of it. Whether it be lucha rolls and craziness or powerlifting, deadlifting, things like that. Or technical wrestling. Just learn as much as you possibly can. Because at some point, someone's going to, you're going to get thrown in the ring with somebody who does that. And if you can't at least understand how they do it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The best piece of advice I've had was not to take anybody's word for gospel.
Yeah.
Because there's no right or wrong way of how professional wrestling works. All that matters is whether the crowds like it. Like, people may give you advice, but it might not be completely relevant to to what you do when you perform. So you kind of pick and choose what advice is most relevant to you.
I will probably be making a fool of myself in most of my matches. I think that's probably the line I'm going down.
So, yeah.
What's the advice for making a fool of yourself in the ring?
I don't know if you've caught any of our recent stuff from OTT.
I haven't, but I really want to go to OTT.
Probably check that out.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. sometimes, obviously, depending on which country, company, the level of freedom that we get is it's incredible on the independents. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't get
more free license.
Yeah, it's like
free license.
We know you can do it, obviously. So just go out there and do the best thing you can do. And we're like, yeah, right. I've got an idea.
But that's what happened tonight.
Let's get an axe.
But also, sometimes it doesn't even have to be wrestling.
Yeah.
Like our last one at OTT, it was Trent, Pete, and myself against Angel Cruz. What was his wrestling name? Be Cool. And myself.
So it was a six-man tag.
Right.
Five people in it.
How did that work?
I was on both.
You were on both sides.
Yeah.
Wait.
And we
did you manage a hot tag against yourself?
Well, if you actually watch it, because
I now really have to see this because I'm intrigued about. Ever, I'm just
maybe
like seeing the mess.
Yeah, there's it's more of like numerous plays on.
It's more of a theatre, like a play.
It was a play. Yeah.
Well, with dialogue.
We finished. Yeah, there's a lot of dialogue in it, and we've been really strong on that for the last 2 years now. Like, I've always tried to put like a bit of dialogue into my matches because. It's A, it's different, and B, that people are listening to everything that you say, so you might as well say something that means something.
What's the schedule been like now that are you going to Orlando quite a bit for the two of you, or?
At the moment, it's still very much a case of waiting and seeing.
Okay, I see.
Very luckily, we have, a contract that allows us to obviously, be WWE talent and still, help build the UK scene over here, which is, on every level of, on every level of it, it's just such a positive. Do you know what I mean? Like, we now got this WWE banner that we're allowed to, bring around with us.
Yeah.
So that the gates are going up for the independent shows that we do. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, the crowds are getting hotter.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty cool, so wrestling's cool.
the world's just finding out.
No, I don't know, how much I'm allowed to touch on this, but I honestly believe that was my only ever goal.
To make wrestling cool.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, all of my mates, when I told them that I was wrestling, you get the same old thing, don't you? But now they're turning up and I'm buying my T-shirts. And they're like, mate, that's the sickest thing I've ever seen in my life. How do you even do that? And I'm like, I don't really know, to be honest.
What? I've just realised that we've got both of you here, and collectively you are Mustache Mountain.
We are.
I seem to remember, I think I was there the day you formed the team. And I seem to remember you going, I think we're going to call ourselves Mustache Mountain. It seemed quite funny. And then it's now become, the biggest thing ever.
I'm sure.
And also, is it true that you were going to climb into the ring you were climbing a real mountain?
Yeah, that was before I did, the slow roll. I was going to have, the chalk bags they have on the back. Mm-hmm. So I was going to have the chalk bag, and I'm like, all right, let's go. And I was going to assign all the things and then do the mustache thing on that, but
that's great.
The slow roll just stuck, so.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I will say for WWE, I'd read your guys' names on the internet before, but I didn't have a chance to see either of you perform. So for me, it's been great, and so many people that I talk to, it allows us all to know you guys now. So, it's been a great ride, even just in the past 6 months. Because watching you guys, and then it opens me up to, now I'm here, and I'm seeing all these other guys. It's really, really awesome for everybody, I feel, in the biz.
You get to see us in every dimension.
Yeah.
Every dimension.
Yeah. if we're here, or if we're at Rev Pro, or at Fight Club Pro, you're going to see a different little aspect of our characters or whatever coming through. And as you said, it's just the context of where you put it and where you place it. And wrestling's cool, man. It's just so much fun at the minute, and that's what you should do with everything. Just ride the crest of the wave and just keep trying as hard as you can.
So, what's the next goal then?
What we've got next? I think it's probably a Raw debut, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Probably WrestleMania or something.
Yeah,
Raw. Or just skip Raw completely.
Yeah, what if we were in Survivor Series?
Well, that'd be good.
It's a British Strong Style.
Oh,
that'd be good. Series,
quick, someone call the
British. British Strong Style and Triple H.
Yeah.
British
Strong Style and Trips.
Does he like your spit take, by the way?
He loves it.
Yeah. Nice.
I think he wants him.
Yeah. You guys made the spit take cool.
Imagine Triple H on the indies.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
One day. Triple H.
Fingers crossed.
One day, somehow.
On progress. And we're going to do a quadruple water spit.
It's going to be the greatest day of anyone's life.
Especially mine.
That's awesome. So nothing else, as far as you know, on the WWE side is booked for either of you?
No, that's it. When they need us, they'll give us a call and we'll go out there. And obviously, it can only start to get slightly more regular. So.
Yeah.
Well, you've just done the download shows.
Yeah, we just did the NXT tour as well. So
that looked awesome.
I think I was watching Fozzy and I looked up there and I was like, that's definitely Trent Seven. So I messaged him are you at the side of the stage? He just sent back a mustache emoji.
How often do you use that in your everyday life? I feel like that's pretty cool. Good.
Download was a brilliant experience. I think if you follow it, you'll have seen the posts on Instagram and stuff like that. Last year I was there, stood in the crowd, watching NXT and stuff like that.
How surreal is that for you at this point?
Well, I don't know. Like, I just think it's cool.
Yeah,
it's very cool. Just cool, isn't it?
I wasn't there.
No, you weren't.
I was living at large in Zante.
Is Manders okay? I heard
he's good.
Hurt himself, yeah, or he's, possibly he's hurt
good,
himself.
Yeah. Okay, he's good. All good. Bless him.
Good, good. All right, awesome. Well, where can people find you? Is Twitter? You guys more Instagram people or what?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as popular or famous as Tyler or Pete, but you can
or me, or you.
but you can check out my Blue Tick verified Twitter account, which is at Trent7. Is it? Yeah, it's at Trent7. SEVEN. And the Instagram handle is Trent7 with a 7 numerically at the end.
Thanks for making that easy.
Is
Tyler underscore Bate.
My Twitter is at Tyler underscore Bate. And my Instagram is at Tyler Bate underscore 97.
Are there a lot of fake Tyler Bate out there? Did you have to
Word. Have you been enjoying
the cosplays? Or the online cosplay? What's it called, an online cosplay?
It's probably got a name.
Role plays. Yeah, they are.
It's incredible.
People that have made, like, a whole group of us, and they'll talk to themselves as if they're us.
They'll log into my account
and tweet the fake Trent, and then log into the fake Trent, and then tweet back to the fake Tyler, and yeah, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
You've made it.
yeah, I guess that means you've made it. You're doing it right. There's some
full catfish accounts as well, where it's like me and like pictures of my life, but it's not my name. It's just another name, and all of the stuff on there is just reposts.
John Hampson.
I can't remember what my name was. It was like Dustin Funnelworth or something.
Oh, there's my ring name, sorted.
Yeah. Justin
Chesley Mean Cake. I can keep them coming.
Now someone has to name their kid that. I feel like you can't just waste that. So, well, thank you both for doing this. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you. Congrats to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Tom.
Thanks.
Thank you very much to Tyler Bate and Trent7 and Tom Anstey. That was an awesome sit down at Progress. So as always, our in-studio kicks off with my co-hostess with the mostest. She is a multi-time champion and all-around amazing, awesome lady with good karma and a certain glow about her. She is Kia Stevens.
I loved how you. How long did it take for you to come up with
that?
Oh, yeah, that
was some true plane joy. I had six hours to think about that.
Yes.
I'm excited to hear what you got for me.
Yours isn't as jazzy, I'm sorry. We'll work on it.
All right.
You just got to come back more. She didn't get all that jazz the first go around.
No.
Also joining us is a man who has officiated some of the most significant matches in WWE and Lucha Underground in his illustrious 20-year career. And oh yeah, he loves him some Kiss. It's Marty Elias.
How you guys doing?
How's
it
going?
It's going to be cool. I'm doing great, man.
You're keeping that Kiss Army strong.
You know it.
And our guest today is no stranger to the UK wrestling ring. He still holds the record for longest reigning Ring of Honor champion of all time. He is also the voice of the WWE UK tournament and now does commentary for WWE's network There's so many letters here. NXT, sorry. He is my very good friend, Nigel McGuinness. How's it going, Nigel?
Very well, thank you.
Good to have you in here.
Nice to be here, just up the street from where I live here in Los Angeles.
I know. You used to skateboard into Compadres. You just came by car today. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, no, I'm slacking, getting old.
Yeah, all right.
The knees aren't what they used to be.
Oh, please. Well, we're talking about the UK. We're talking about the indie scene. I feel like you're such a great person to speak to WWE's UK venture, I guess we could call it. You know, one of the main reasons that I was tempted to go to Blackpool, but when they announced that you were going to be there, I had to make sure I was there.
Yeah, it was such a,
it really sold me. I mean, ironically, that made me miss hearing you because they didn't play it for the crowd. But to see the crowd welcome you in that way that they did was just such a warm, I teared up in that moment. It was just such a great
thing.
Yeah,
I've had a few people tell me the same thing. It was a special moment for me. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I got a phone call on, I think it must have been like a Monday morning.
Uh-huh.
Michael Cole saying they were
Oh, he called himself?
Yeah, he called me. And then by Thursday, we talked with Triple H. We had a contract, and by Friday, it was all written, signed, sealed, and delivered. And I think the following Tuesday, I was in London, actually at the press release. So it came out of nowhere.
Jeez.
Wow.
All of a sudden, my life's just gone.
I mean,
That's
with a
quick.
Bullet.
Uh huh.
You just never know what's around the corner, you know?
Yeah.
It's the truth.
So. Yeah, that whole saying with never say never. I mean, that right there was a prime example of what that comment is. I mean, never say never because you just never know.
You never know.
Absolutely. But you've got to be open to it, I think. You've got to be open to change and then. It's that manifesting, isn't it? You know, if you manifest the right things, the universe will give it back to you.
Put it out there.
And vice versa as well. So
you're all about that manifestation. That's what I like about you.
Positive mental attitude.
Uh-huh.
There we are.
Well, before we delve too far into this topic, it is time for the UK edition of the news.
Oh, what's going on in the UK?
Wow.
Like,
we
want to sit
new.
Up straighter.
You got to be proper.
Yeah, right?
We have official news now. That's what that song means. And I don't know what that song means.
Jolly good.
So, before we delve... Okay, so Will Ospreay wants to move to Australia. So, he has had a string... He wants to help build the wrestling scene in Australia now. He has been notorious in the UK and pretty much all over the internet entirely. But via Will's Instagram, I will quote for you. He says, "I can't help but feel what I'm doing feels so right down here. I have literally had three of the best matches in my entire life in Australia. I've never been more emotionally connected with wrestling than I have been in the last few weeks, and I've had some real moments backstage with all the guys, and it's really touched my heart. This is no cheap pop, no hot air. I will have to put New Japan and Ring of Honor as my priority, as that's my contract. But I want to help lead an army of Kiwis and Aussies so that they can have success like the British guys have had. They need a guy with eyes. That's what I'm here for. I carry the flag. I stand on the front line." Pretty crazy. Now, it's interesting that he brings it up because I don't know anything about Australian wrestlers. I couldn't tell you.
Well, I mean, there is... wrestling.
Yeah,
Australia.
I mean,
I'm curious as to what part. I mean, because Australia is extremely large.
Yeah,
about,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As large as the United States.
Yeah.
And I've wrestled in Perth. And let me tell you something about
Perth. Oh, the other
Perth.
Side.
No, it is. Perth is the last city on Earth. It's the furthest you can go on the Earth before you start your way home again. So I'm curious as to which side
yeah,
of Australia
I wonder.
Is going to
I presumed
start
on. It was Melbourne and, yeah. and you know the other side, basically.
Yeah, probably.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, something has really gotten to them. And so it's pretty exciting. I know guys like the Mighty Don't Kneel. I mean, WWE
mm-hmm.
has hired yeah. plenty of guys from Australia.
Yeah,
yeah.
Billy Kay, Peyton Royce.
Yeah.
And there's always been a great history of wrestling in Australia as well. Jim Barnett used to run the very first World Championship Wrestling in Australia in the 60s and 70s. Dominic DiMucci, a lot of those sort of old school guys made a great living out there. Nick Bockwinkle, I think, spent some time out there as well.
Okay.
Did a lot of great money, really drew some good money in Australia in the 60s and 70s. But then, from what I understand, they changed the legality to where they had to pay more taxes on the gate. And then after that, Jim Barnett stopped going.
Yeah, that'll do it. I mean, that's what has moved the movie industry from Hollywood
yeah.
to basically...
Like Vancouver.
Atlanta. Yeah.
Atlanta.
They're calling Atlanta Yollywood now.
Yollywood. Yeah, I mean, but Australia, like even back in the 80s, they had their own like famous Hogan that was wrestling. He was Paul Hogan and he wrestled crocodiles, but still...
Still entertaining.
Still entertaining.
I'd pay for that. Second up, Adele treats young victims of the Grenfell Tower fire to a private screening of Despicable Me 3.
Adele did?
Adele did, yeah.
Yeah, that fire, devastating. As some people know, my house burned down twice in my youth.
Mm-hmm.
So that watching that really affected me. And she went down there that night
yeah.
as it was still burning. To try to comfort those who, you know, were missing family members. I think that's wonderful that
yeah.
she could try to do something to, nothing can replace what happened
exactly.
there.
Just ease the pain
but
of going through it.
Take your mind
distract
off
you.
For a couple, distract
yeah,
you for a couple
you know
hours.
Yeah, but you know what's cool about that? It shows the human side of celebrity. You know,
uh-huh.
Yes.
A lot of people have the misconception that if you're a celebrity, you're mightier than thou or whatever, but showing compassion like that, especially being who she is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it speaks volumes of who she is as a person without all that other stuff. You know?
Yeah.
So kudos to her.
Because she went down there without, like, a bodyguard team or nothing. She went down there and got in it with the people and, I mean, just in the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, she bonded with people because she was
there. During the event. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely affected her, and she felt a lot for it. So it's nice to see her just do something.
Yeah,
like you're saying, to your point, Marty, she didn't have to do any of that. Nope. She's young, and she's hella popular. She could be very in her own head and be like, well, right, whatever.
And she's hella rich, too. So.
I am sure.
So go
she
ahead
is.
And shell out some Despicable 3.
Yeah, she can rent a theater.
Yeah.
This next one is my favorite of the week. Man jailed for 10 years after he shoots his lover in the genitals.
Oh, wait, what did the genital do?
Good question.
Good question. What did they do?
A man has been jailed after he caused life-changing injuries to his female lover after bizarre sexual fantasy involving a shotgun.
Went
disastrously wrong. Ugh. The sexual fantasy was a loaded shotgun placed in the victim's vagina and mistakenly fired. In wrestling, they would say, "You fucked up! You fucked up!
You fucked up! How do you fuck up on fucking?"
Well, here's how it is. Here's how it is. Drugs and alcohol, of course, had been consumed by both of them, and test confirms the presence of cocaine in her system. There was also a closed caption TV footage that shows the two of them buying spirits locally. So they were having their evening. The physical injuries sustained by the victim are profound and long-lasting, but the shotgun was discharged basically directly into her vagina. Her vajayjay.
Oh, my God.
Does she have kids?
Didn't say in this article.
Is she going to be able to have kids?
I mean, the fact that they reference it quite a bit as, like, permanent injuries.
Injury.
I mean, I don't know. It could be, but it depends on what the trajectory of the bullet was. It could be like her kidneys, or I mean,
guns aren't something. You don't.
Yeah, but
shotgun
is a shotgun. That stuff spreads out.
Yeah,
and
all
you know?
The buckshots.
I mean, yeah, that's
like every period she has is gonna like period out buckshots.
And is the fantasy really that it needs to be a loaded gun?
Yeah, why does it have to be loaded? Why couldn't it have been like salt, rock salt, or
they were already loaded. They didn't need a loaded gun.
Right? Exactly. What kind of penis you got? Your penis ain't loaded enough. You
exactly.
Gotta get a shotgun. That's some kinky shit right there.
So the best part of this story that I read was that the defendant said that he found the firearm in the toilet at a Weatherspoon's pub in Leeds Station.
Oh, God, that's so nasty.
It wasn't even his gun. Just like, oh, look,
I'm a
gun in the bathroom. I'll stick this in my girlfriend's. So,
I don't like my private parts touching anything in a public bathroom. That's why, you know, I'm constantly with the guards, the toilet paper guards, or I'm a squatter.
I could hover if it gets real.
I'm a hoverer. But I'm going to find a shotgun and put it up your punana. Let's have some fun.
Nasty.
Hey ho.
Nasty. Anyway, he's been served 10 years. So. That's
an accident, though, right?
Well, his statement was, the lawyer said that he absolutely had no intent of harming her, but it being discharged was not a deliberate act, but he accepts the fact that he was in possession of it when it went off, even though it was not deliberate. So apparently that was enough to... I don't know if he'll serve 10 years, but that's what they gave him. So, interesting news tidbit. Thanks, UK. You got some weird shit going on.
Guns don't fuck people. People with guns fuck people.
So that was the news. Okay, so why are the indies so hot right now? So we were just talking about Australia and it having a good moment, you know, in the 70s. We said the law changed there. But so what has been going on lately that has made the indies so hot for everyone? As WWE... You know, they've been maintaining, they've been keeping a very good audience with the network and different ways to watch the WWE. Mm. But what's making the indie so popular?
Who are you asking? The whole panel?
Yeah, everybody.
I think it's because everyone has gotten really good with social media and the internet and being able to promote your product locally and nationally and you know, local guys really promoting themselves and taking chances and like doing like their own tours.
Yeah,
like I'm coming to your county soon, and then gaining a following and actually thinking and creating little storylines that little podunk towns actually follow, like a weird wrestling Friday Night Lights. You know, yeah. You know what I mean. And so I think it has something to do, like a mixture of that.
So just kind of an easier accessibility overall, and yeah. being able to find your favorite guy and wherever he is.
So you go by, and he tells you where he or she tells you where they've been, who they face. You know, the story. You get into their storyline. You follow them. You come out. You seek and come out and follow them. And next you know, you tell a friend and you tell a friend and so on and so on and so forth. It's like My Big Fat Greek Wrestling.
Yeah, I guess before you had to rely on flyers to hear about shows and things like that. I mean, it's now you can just follow your favorite guy on Twitter.
Exactly. Right.
I still see flyers outside of shows from time to time.
NXT,
as well.
There's my car always has something when I come to NXT.
Exactly, but it's definitely, I think, the power of the internet and how it's changed everything in the world now, how easily accessible it is. But also, I think it's a whole generation of people that now have. I don't want to say superfluous income, but, you know, the economy has bounced back now around the world, and there are people who are 18 to 30 years old who have enough money to be able to go out and spend money on shows and to buy T-shirts, and they're far more invested now because guys like Colt Cabana, who they made that connection between, you know, fans that before we were always told, keep yourselves up here. Don't be friends with fans, you know, otherwise you're not going to be seen as a superstar. Mm. But I think with the internet and Cabana doing his podcast and everything else, I think what he's really done is been able to connect to it. So fans now understand that when they buy one of our T-shirts, that goes in our pocket. And on the independent scene, that's super, super important. Now, 5 or 10 years ago, the average person who's, what, 22 now, was 12 years old then, so didn't have the money, and more than likely would just buy a WWE T-shirt because it's what they saw on TV. But now they have access online with YouTube. And, God, I was editing a show recently, well, actually, before I started with WWE, and it was about a couple of YouTube superstars. And they'd only ever shot stuff on YouTube, nothing else whatsoever, and they did a tour all around the UK and sold out theaters, like 2,000-3,000 people just from doing these shows on YouTube. So the world has changed categorically in terms of how people are accessing content, and it's the same with wrestling, and that's why WWE having a network is now so powerful and important for them.
One of the things, you know, that I totally agree with those, but guys are their own brand now, whereas before they were just independent contractors, indie guys, but now guys are their own brands, speaking of the T-shirts, speaking of the DVDs and all that, so they're able to promote a product, whereas previously guys didn't have that opportunity to do that. I remember starting, you know, nobody had T-shirts, nobody had DVDs, nobody was able to promote themselves, so now everybody individually is a brand, and they're able to promote that brand and social media, and like you said, with all the other you know, media that is out there, I mean, it's endless. Of you can go out and promote your brand, and if you're a specific guy and people love you, then
you're gonna do it. I mean, every wrestler has like an online store. Yep. I mean, even Amazing Kong has Pro Wrestling Tees/Kong. If you wanted to go out and buy some T-shirts,
get them before they're sold out.
Marty Elias, Lucha
Barrel. Get them before they go back in the vault.
I do love that anime-looking one that you got.
That's my favorite. I want to get that one. That's my favorite.
So, well, then, what do we think? I mean, UK specifically, but also the CWC and now the Mae Young Classic. I mean, WWE is snatching up all these, like, great indie names. I mean, even New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor have been feeling the WWE effect. Here's a list. Just in the last 2 years, here's a list of people that were indie darlings, air quotes, and now WWE has them. Kenta, Prince Devitt, Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Anderson Gallo, Chris Hero, Roderick Strong, Noam Dar, Jack Gallagher, Rich Swann, The Mighty Don't Kneel, Nikki Storm, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, Pete Dunne, our guest from today, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, Chris Hero again, Tommy End, Bobby Fish, and now Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, and that's just left and right. They've been grabbing all these guys for these competitions or for NXT directly. So it begs the question, is WWE doing the indie scene a favor by kind of shining a light and having these things that, like, I wouldn't know any of these UK competitors if I hadn't have gone to this competition. Like, I'd read the name, maybe Tyler Bate or Pete Dunne, but otherwise I had no idea who these guys were. And now I follow them on Instagram, or I flew out to Progress to see them wrestle because they're not getting shown in the WWE very much right now. So does it help them by shining a light, or does it do a disservice to the scene by grabbing all the, you know, kind of the notorious guys?
You know, WWE recognizes brands, and they invest in brands, and they collect brands like, you know, we used to collect baseball cards.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
And so if you have been on the indie scene and you have done well enough on social media and you have, you know, created a brand, guess what? Come on over here. We got this thing called NXT.
Uh-huh.
And come and bring your brand over here too. And we're gonna make nickel and dime the market to death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean that's
that good though?
For whom? Like for the fans?
I would think for the fans it's good because it gets exposure more. You get to see your guy more often, unless they change him, which can also ruin your guy. We've seen plenty of that to go down.
I think it's great. I mean, even if they stayed for a while and then left, they still have that WWE rub on them.
That's true.
And so when they go somewhere else, their asking price is higher, and they can travel the world and reach more people because they have that WWE rub on them. I think it's great for everybody.
I think it's a
good thing that NXT is going on. It's hot. Like, I don't have the channel in the WWE channel.
The network.
The network. Yeah. I don't have it anymore. Even though they keep sending me emails, which is funny.
You get your free month.
It's funny because for a while, like when it first came out, I saw it, an email that said WWE. I was like, they want me back. You know?
That's an ad.
They want your $9.99 is what they want.
It's an ad. Because I had it for like a month, and it was like, we want you. The thing was like, we want you back. I was like, they want me back, Dan. Oh, no, they want me back as a customer for their thing.
That's awesome.
It's okay. Oh,
my goodness. What's that?
I mean, I think it's a great thing, to be honest with you. I think it's good for everybody involved because it gives guys a chance to make a real decent living and to go out there. NXT runs all these house shows all around Florida and actually all around the country. And Shawn Michaels, Triple H, a lot of these guys are giving them feedback weekly.
Right.
So it's a great opportunity. But I think if you think of why the independents are so big now, it's probably that link as well to where when we see guys like AJ Styles or Kevin Owens on top of the card, we go, where did these people come from? That's when you go back to there, you know, and I think it creates that link.
That's true.
And the thing is, too, guys now are up in their profile, and that's what WWE loves. You know, they want guys to have a profile, and they want guys to have a certain type of brand, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
And the profile is what they're after. And if they can actually give somebody a rub and start selling T-shirts, or they bring them into NXT or do whatever, even when those people leave NXT, they still have that WWE rub, like you said.
Yeah.
And it actually, when they go back to their home indie show or base or whatever, those guys have that type of visibility. But here's the other thing is that when these guys are getting the rub, these guys actually have WWE behind them. What I mean by that is that they have that WWE shadow, so to speak. So
right. People
want to see that or get a feel of somebody who was there.
Yeah.
So fans go, well, this guy was NXT. This guy was that. Good case is Sami Callihan. Sami Callihan, I mean, he's all over the place. He had that NXT rub. He went. He's with Lucha Underground. But at the same time, he's a former NXT guy.
Right.
Yeah. Also, I think, as far as the indie scene is concerned, when you see, like, the birth of a wrestler, when you see him grow, and you say, you know what, this dude is going to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And later you say, I was one of the original people that said he's going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I think that's also a thing now, too, that, like, I was an original fan of so-and-so. Like, I'm proud to say I was an original fan of Justin Timberlake before it was cool. Like, I was a fan when he had the fro.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I was one of the people that petitioned the fro can't go. You know, I was one of the original people that was a fan then. And so I think that's actually a thing now, too, to be a fan of someone before they make it.
Right.
And you kind of feel included, like, I help get them there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's,
a little bit.
I totally see that. There's definitely guys that I feel... Chris Ridgway is a guy right now that is not being talked about as much as I feel like he should, but he's so big on the indie scene, like ICW area and stuff like that, but he's just got such... He has a lot of things that would work in the WWE. So... What's the biggest difference between then the indies and WWE from a performer standpoint? Besides money, I would presume. But
what's the question again?
What's the biggest difference between like being an indie wrestler and being a WWE wrestler from a performer standpoint? Is it the environment, the work schedule, backstage politics? Like what all is the biggest differences that you would say between being on the indie scene and in WWE?
It's hard for me to answer because I haven't been an independent wrestler for, God, 10 years now, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it's changed considerably since then. I mean, when I was on the independents, even when I was working for Ring of Honor and I was a top guy there, you still couldn't make a living outside of what I was making in Japan just from doing independent shows.
Really?
Yeah, you still couldn't. Now, with merchandise... People are making six figures, low six figures, but still six figures on the independents.
Young Bucks make so much product money.
Right, exactly. I know a lot of guys that do as well.
Yeah.
But I think really, perhaps, and as I said, I can't really speak from experience, but perhaps it's more a question of support. At least from what I've seen in NXT, when they bring guys in, they invest in them.
Yeah.
If you take Aleister Black, for example, you know, when they had an idea for him and they've got behind him 100%, you know,
absolutely.
They're not going to invest time and money in somebody and then just, you know, kick them out the door. They know this is, and that's what I think is so smart about it. They're investing in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They make him look like a star.
Yeah.
I love, just from the way he enters the ring from like a vampire kind of way, like he just pops up. And there's like smoke behind him. It's a very, very cool entrance. Just that alone makes him look like, what's this guy doing? And
right. Then
he's got a lot of mystique to him.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean.
Yeah, and the difference too is scheduling. I mean, you know, who you're working with, you know, because guys are able to go and work with guys who are elevated, whereas indies, they're working with each other. I mean, pretty much guys in the indies are working with guys who have the same experience, but when they get to the NXT, they get to WWE, they have this whole different, you know, force of people to be working with. And the other thing too, it's a whole different work rate. And what I mean by that is NXT versus the indies, you have a certain way to work TV at NXT and WWE, whereas
right.
The indies, you know, sky's the limit. You can go do Spot Fest, Circus Olay stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that would be the major difference too. And of course the money.
Yeah, I'm sure the money is always helpful. Yeah, I mean, Trent Seven said at the top of the show, like, you know, a lot of the things, they get to be comedic in a lot of the indie places that they go because the indie guys say, what do you want to do? You know, like, great, go do it. We don't care. You know, just like, be you because we like you. So that's why we brought you in for this show.
Right.
Whereas I feel like, you know, WWE has different prerequisites of what a character is. And they're, you know, again, they're establishing that brand.
You know, beforehand, they'll get together and they'll have their meetings, their creative meetings, and then they pass on what they talked about in the creative meetings to the agents, and then the agents will get together with who's on the card and who they're responsible for, what matches they're responsible for, and say, this is a story that the creative meeting talked about, and this is a story we want to tell, and then they, you know, so on and so on
yeah.
and so forth, and working out.
A lot more opinions involved. A
lot more opinions involved. Instead of saying, so-and-so's over, go figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the UK tournament was an interesting place. I think it's a good place for these guys to be because as they figure out what's going on with the show, these guys are allowed to go out and do Progress or ICW, or it seems like they're pretty open. As long as it's not aired on, you know, I don't think they can go do Global Force or whatever, you know, but as long as it's not being aired, it seems like they are pretty much can run the gamut of whatever they want. And they take the belts with them. I mean, Pete Dunne brought his gimmick at Progress right now is he brings out the WWE title and he like lifts it up into the air and, you know, and then he's also the Progress champ and he throws that on the ground and like steps on it as he goes to show everyone the WWE title. Like it makes him a heel in the same moment of putting over the WWE. I mean, it's just like such an interesting, crazy, you would have never imagined that 5 years ago even.
Right.
You would have never seen them even mentioned.
15 years ago, that had never happened.
For sure not. For sure not. I mean, they would always, even in interviews, they would call like TNA like, oh, when I was at that other place. You know, like they wouldn't even let them say the name. So it was
very, that must not be named.
Yeah, it was like the Voldemort of wrestling. So I don't know. It was just very interesting. But I digress. Any indie stars? Maybe Nigel. This could be you or for everybody. But if you have anyone that sticks out in your head that you're kind of surprised to see that they haven't signed already, is there anybody that I think Adam Cole is like a highly rumored person that maybe is already signed and we just don't know. Who knows? But he's one of those big fish out there, I feel, right now. Will Ospreay is another one that comes to mind of people who WWE seems like they would be definitely interested in. Is there anybody that pops to mind for you, Nigel?
It's the usual suspects, the guys that you'd expect. But 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, it's because they are under contract somewhere else. So
right, yeah.
Nature of the industry.
Because ROH started doing more contracts, right? Wasn't that kind of a
thing? They started doing them. I had a contract, strictly speaking, back in the day. Okay. But they weren't as extensive as they are now.
Okay.
They certainly weren't for the money that they are now either.
I see.
It's a very different situation. And that's one of the things that I think Ring of Honor and a lot of the other smaller companies have to come to terms with, is that they're going to have to try to compete on a money level, which they're never really ever going to be able to do. And so you can make an argument that that means the independent scene is always going to be a place to funnel people through, you know. But also at the same time, if you look at a guy like Drew McIntyre, who had a run in WWE and then went back out into the independents all around the world and developed his style and his brands, now come back stronger than ever.
Absolutely. I like this version of him so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I mean, they've pretty much fulfilled my Christmas list. Like, for a long time, whenever I would do interviews, people would ask, who do you think is, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Underutilized or?
Or undervalued. There's a word I'm looking for, and I can't think of it right now. But anyway. And I would always say Mike Bennett. And I always say, Mike Bennett is going to make it to WWE. That's who I want to go to WWE. He is underestimated. I'm telling you, this boy can work a broomstick. And and now he's finally there. And I'm like, yes!
With the best theme song of all time, maybe.
He's there! I haven't seen it yet. I just heard that he was there. I don't watch the project anymore. But I'm like, yes!
You know what's cool about
he's
that?
He's there now.
WWE has the guys you mentioned, the Ospreys, all these guys.
Yeah.
But I know that for a fact that there's other guys, dark horses, that they look at too. Some guys who don't have a profile that's that high right now, but I know there's other guys who are peaking or they're doing something with another promotion and they're under contract that they go, let's keep an eye out for that kid.
Yeah, I would think that they would kind of like to see people grow more, too. They don't necessarily have to pay you quite yet. You can go do your own thing for a year or two. Work it out, and then come to us. I mean, or there's the school of thought of, like, get them, and we don't have to unlearn them as well.
There's that thought. And then sometimes it's just timing. I do wish cheerleader Melissa Anderson had went to WWE. I do wish that had happened. Still can. Because, she's still got it. She can still move around. She still got it. WWE. Vince.
Listening.
Triple H.
They picked up a lot of ladies, though, in that Mae Young Classic. I mean, there's a lot of folks in there that they picked up. And I mean, you got to do a little bit of...
I called one of the dark matches, actually, I think, on the second night, which was fantastic. And just I was there for both nights anyway.
Yeah.
Just, lucky enough to be able to stay and see it. And I was in the back listening over the headsets with Lita and Jim Ross, who were doing the commentary, and it was fantastic. So much talent out there, I mean, how it's changed. It's funny, I was watching on the network plug, it was a women's match at Survivor Series, I think it was Survivor Series 87.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe in the very first one, and it had the Jumping Bomb Angels from Japan.
Oh, yes!
They were doing stuff in 87 that guys were trying to do in like the late 90s.
Huh.
That all Japan female scene in the late 80s, the Crush Gals.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
Yeah,
it really was fantastic. And now we're seeing that with the evolution of the women's game in WWE as well.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Toyota Manami. I mean, her game back then it's still tight now, but like she was doing stuff back then that you guys are just now seeing now.
Isn't that crazy that Japan sort of embraced the women's wrestling scene well before WWE did. I mean, it was in a culture that really separates men and women mm-hmm. so strongly. You would think Japan would be like one of the last people to hop on that.
Right.
But they were really strong.
I mean, they
for
sold
so
out the Tokyo Dome.
Crazy.
West, you know, from you know the big egg deal, sold it out. Can you believe it? Women's.
So what would be the next big, this may have to be our take-home question, but what would be the next big scene? So they've done cruiserweights, they've done women. What could a competition be that you'd like to see WWE put together that could be something that is...
A new storyline?
Yeah.
Something new? Like, I would like to see an intergender tag team deal.
Okay.
Like, you know, because now you got to think outside the box.
Yeah.
And figure out how are you going to pull this off without traumatizing some people with, you know, that have ideals of, you know.
Like we talked about in the first episode.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So, because there's some badass chicks, I'm one of them, that could hold their own even if they were tagged in to face the male counterpart.
Absolutely.
In a tag team, you know. But be serious. If you've watched Ayako Hamada face a lot of the men, she held her own. She had a match, I forgot, was it Red? She had a match with Red in TNA, and I mean, it was like one of the greatest matches I had ever seen.
Really? Okay.
So yeah, intergender tag team matches, and see what can grow from there. See what you can do. You never know.
How would you feel about that, Nigel?
Yeah, well, it's funny you bring that point up. I mean, I think if you look at a lot of the very best women competitors, a lot of them have had matches against men in the past. If you look at the women's champion NXT now, Asuka,
mm-hmm.
she competed against Fit Finlay, Minoru Suzuki. You know, a lot of those guys, and when I think back to a lot of the girls when I was competing, a lot of them did start cutting their teeth, having matches with guys. So probably something to that, you know. I think there's something to be thought about when it comes to male and female violence, though, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes.
Right.
How you can sort of purvey that in the right way, in
yes.
a respectful way without sort of encouraging men to hit women.
Exactly.
Sex,
it's very precious,
so, yeah.
you know.
And, you know, like Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan, the world's cutest tag team, they had an awesome match with the Young Bucks at PWG a few years back. And it was bloody, but it was a kick-ass match. And Candice held her own. It was great. To your point, you know, they can get in there and do that. Season two last year with Lucha Underground, it was Pentagon versus Yuri from Stardom and the other gals.
Mm-hmm.
And they whooped his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Storyline-wise, they whooped his ass. And they went over. But they held their own, and they were able to get their stuff in. And Pentagon got his stuff in. But
it made sense.
It made sense, and it was...
Different storytelling.
Different, and people loved it, and they ate it up. And I'm getting goosebumps at it. No, because it can be done if it's done the right
way. So you got to think about it. So it's a new thing.
Yeah, I guess that's the risk. I mean, we've seen it a lot on the indies where you see a lot of the intergender, but there's less storyline for a lot of those things because you don't have that follow-through. I think
exactly.
In WWE, storyline is so important that you would need to tell it as a rhyme and a reason, so it's not just a man hitting a woman.
Absolutely.
It's like XYZ happened, so this equates to this being okay because it is definitely still a PG audience. So,
right.
Like I thought your point was real strong, though, in that first episode where we talked about it and you said, well, you need to sit down with your kids and say, like, this is why this is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is why it's okay when this happens here, but not okay here.
Exactly.
But, yeah. So, well, that's going to have to take us home for the panel today. We do have a drive-through crew. I got to sit down with Jimmy Havoc, and we didn't ever actually find a drive-through, unfortunately. But we drove through London, so that counts, I think. So here is my drive-through crew with Jimmy Havoc. So, do you want to tell us about ripping a new asshole? Should we start there?
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
We're recording.
Okay.
I'd rather wait until my brain is 100% okay before I start making jokes to the public.
Yeah.
About it. But yes, Bram took an unfortunate incident last night, landing on a chair, which he had to go to hospital for.
That's terrible.
Several stitches on his ass cheek because he lost quite a large part of it.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
No.
Hello.
I'm not sure what the follow-up question
is. Jimmy Havoc.
That, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Havoc, everyone.
Hello.
Drive-thru crew. What did you take? I saw some light bulb photos.
No, that was from Tournament of Death. Before? That was a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
That was a Tournament of Death CZW. Well. Oh, no, that wasn't too bad, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, it was a bit stingy, but...
A bit stingy?
I've had worse.
The noise that those make alone horrifies me. Oh, it's brilliant,
isn't it? I really enjoy it. It's quite therapeutic.
How many death matches have you been in?
I've no idea.
How many matches have you been in that aren't death matches? Seven.
Yeah, two, yeah.
Wait, what is a death match?
Yeah, what qualifies it?
It's just a hardcore match, really, but you know, normal hardcore match, you might not have light tubes or fire or other forms of glass or barbed wire or...
A very extreme hardcore match.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds it.
I was put death before anything, it sounds, sounds more impending, extreme. Yeah.
Yeah. I was at a Lucha match for Lucha Underground. And they had used one of those light tubes, and flew into the crowd and just like skimmed a girl's head. She was like seven.
Whoa.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
She cried, if you can imagine.
Yeah,
I don't think it actually touched her, but, you know, she was horrified. She'll probably never use fluorescent lighting in her entire life.
Several Catholic school children feel the same way, I think.
Different reasons, but
yeah.
Didn't you once tell me a story where you accidentally hit Zack Sabre Jr.'s mum on the head with a frying pan?
No, I didn't.
What? I feel like you did.
No. He's listened to parts of the story and then made that story up himself.
Bring it, mate. Tell me the story.
The story remix.
I was doing a hardcore match with Zack Sabre Jr. at this place called the Tap and Tin in Chatham, which is where we started at Hammerlock. And we used to show there ourselves. And Zach hit me so hard in the head with a frying pan that the handle broke, the frying pan then flew off into the crowd and hit my mum.
Ah, that was close. That was close.
Yeah.
Look at half right.
She's okay now, so.
Well. No, not really.
Related or unrelated to the frying
pan? Unrelated, totally.
Just raising Jim.
How dare you?
I love Jim, really.
I detest you, Tom. I don't know how we've been on a holiday several times together.
Jimmy's gone on at least three holidays with me.
It just keeps happening. I don't know what
Where'd you go? Where did we go? We went to Dallas,
New York.
We went to Dallas and we went to Orlando.
Yes.
And we had wonderful times at each one.
Well.
So it's only New York. It's only America. We go to America together a lot.
Yeah. What's in that?
So when are we going to go to like Ibiza or something?
Yeah, you just go clubbing.
I'll book it. I'll get it booked.
You guys just know each
other. If you do book it, I'll book it.
You just know each other through wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm also kind of a big deal.
Well,
That I knew. Thanks, Tom. Thanks,
you got more Twitter followers only because you steal memes off other people.
Oh my God, that is so untrue. He says this to wind me up.
So why am I driving? What's the gimmick?
Well, really, we're supposed to go through a drive-thru, but we're tight on time, and I don't know where a drive-thru is. Do you guys know any drive-thrus? It's the drive-thru crew.
Yeah.
The drive-thru crew is what the segment is called.
We're having a drive-thru Camden.
Yes, exactly. Drive-thru Camden.
The drive-thru Camden, yeah.
You know, if there was a Nando's drive-thru, I feel like we would be there.
That'd be awesome.
If there's a Nando's drive-thru, I would be
rude. It would be brilliant,
I don't have money left,
awesome. What are popular drive-thrus in the London area, though?
There are no popular.
Really?
You get KFC or McDonald's, basically.
That's it?
They're your options.
And how the fuck do you eat a KFC drive?
You can't, can you? Sure.
You just get a bright, messy... Yeah.
And not even their burger. You can't even hold a burger with
no, it. No, because
it all falls out. Yeah, it all falls out. Yeah.
Like, if you get sort your shit out, KFC!
Other chicken brands are available.
Yeah. But your steering wheel looks so shiny and new every time you go.
It slips out of your hands.
Yeah. It's dangerous.
You could kill people.
But what's more important, eating a nice KFC sandwich or driving safely?
Both.
Driving safely, obviously.
What? I'd pick KFC.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is true. Yeah. Sorry, KFC, I have nothing for you.
That's why I've chosen to drive. You're American. I got worried that you were going to drive.
Oh, no, I would never. Good. It would be horrible.
Oh, yeah, when you said that about driving, I was like, no, you shouldn't drive.
Yeah, this is...
You're used to the other side of the road.
You might be able to cope outside of London, but driving straight off into London on the wrong side of the road...
I did that in America, didn't I? We hired a car in New York.
Oh, God,
my first experience in America.
In New York? Yeah, that was fun.
New York City Centre.
It was what happened. Once we got out... Although my favourite bit of that entire trip, that specific drive, was the toll booth.
Because even though I was on the other side of the car, I still in my head the toll booth was going to be on
your side,
my side of the car.
Uh-huh.
So I pulled over to the wrong side, then I couldn't reach from my side. So to get out of the car.
But so he wound down the window and reached out to an imaginary box, which he started laughing at. And then
I've reached across, my friend was sitting in the front seat, which all the way across there, and they couldn't work out why I couldn't put the money in. They looked at my left, so it's there. And then couldn't reach that either.
I never have a good toll experience, though. I've gotten out of the car to collect change off the ground because I don't have enough. I mean, there's lots of horrible... Yeah, in Florida, there's no...
This is my job. Oh, how right dare you?
What's been the worst drive-through experience that you guys have had? Any stories stand out?
I was in Atlanta a few weeks ago, and the show finished quite late, so we've gone to do the drive-through. We've pulled up at the window to order.
Mm-hmm.
And there's me, two other wrestlers in the back, and the driver. Now, we all wanted separate orders, so I've ordered mine, or one order. The two guys in the back put theirs on one order. And she went to order her own separate order, and they said, no, sorry, you can only have two orders at once. The system will only cope with that. Like, what?
Okay.
What do you want us to do? You want us to come and pick the food up and drive around again? Yeah.
So, really?
So we drive up to the window where we collect the food. And we were like, so why? What's this ordering system? You can only do two at once. Can't you just put it through as if another car's come through? And she goes, oh, no, the computer, she won't let me do it, but the computer's broken, so I'm just writing it all down.
Oh, jeez.
Then why couldn't you just let us?
So what you're saying was a lie.
Like, she was like, yeah, but that's the system won't let us. I said, you're writing it down.
You are the system.
Yeah. Just write, draw a line under that one if it makes it better in your head, and then give this lady her order.
I actually came up with the character Jimmy Havoc a few years ago, and then he started using it. So.
Yeah, it was a few years after I started using it.
Yeah, it was a few years after he started using the character. I think I brought out the worst in him. Him knowing me is what really turned him to the dark side and, you know, led him on that surge.
How would you describe Jimmy Havoc to people that don't know Jimmy Havoc?
It's me, as a human being, a real person, turned down.
Yeah.
I'm much angrier in real life.
It's true. Jimmy's lovely, as long as you don't cross him.
Oh.
And I cross him quite a lot, okay. Which is the problem. Not deliberately.
Do you know what? As soon as I agree to doing this, you're off. Why am I fucking doing this? I must have been drunk. You caught me a good point, and I just agreed to it.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. But he's lovely, really. Don't tell anyone, but he is lovely when he wants to.
Well, told everyone.
Don't tell anyone.
No,
they're listening. This is like a big Jimmy's Nice Club, but nobody knows. Except the people in the club.
How does that work exactly?
I don't know.
You've got to know someone.
Tom has no idea what anything he just says.
I'm in a cramped, confined space.
He starts a sentence, he doesn't quite know where it's going.
He has to check the internet to see what the answer is. Yeah.
See if anyone's liked his meme.
Yeah, kind of how my jokes go, actually. I start the joke and hopefully it ends up funny.
You wrestle in a lot of promotions. Did any of them feel like home specifically?
I think Progress feels.
Because you've been there since almost the beginning, right? Yeah.
I was at the first show, but just incredibly drunk in the crowd.
You were at Chapter 2, though, weren't you?
Yeah, it was my first match.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Did you think they'd hit 50?
Yeah, because I was involved, so. It was going to be a success.
Well played, sir, well played.
Are we still in Camden? I'm very confused where we are.
No, I'm kidnapping you all.
Shit.
I wouldn't know the difference, so.
You will when we get to the end.
That has to
be before, Jimmy.
You've been kidnapped?
Jimmy has.
I've been kidnapped by a taxi driver once.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
I was at William Regal's stand-up show that he did over here, and I got incredibly drunk. The promoter asked me if I wanted to meet William Regal. I said, yes, please. So my first question was, hello, can I have a job, please? He said, yes, if you go to www.com/recruit. So I thought that was him strawing me off quite nicely.
Funny.
Yeah. I missed my last train, so I asked my friend if I could sleep on her sofa, and I paid for the taxi back to hers because she lived a lot closer than I did. We get to her place, and I said to the taxi driver, I'm just going to get out and get some cash. He said, no, you aren't. You fucking cunts are all the same. You're going to rob me.
What?
And I went, what?
Sorry.
And he locked the doors and drove off.
What?
So I'm trying to bargain with him for us. Like, I'm leaving her in the car. You can have my phone. I'm just going to get cash out. No, you're all the same. You're all the same. Locking the doors. I phone the police. And go, hi, yeah, I'm being kidnapped.
Oh, no.
And they sort of, from what I was quite drunk, I vaguely think they weren't taking me too seriously. But eventually, like, after talking to them for a bit, trying to put the phone through the glass partition to talk to the driver, he wasn't having none of it. He stopped some traffic lights. I looked at my friend and said, I'm really sorry about this. And I thought the best idea was to put my foot through I thought it was like a plastic partition, but it wasn't. It was full on glass. It just shattered as I smashed that. And at that point, I thought, well, I've committed now. So I climbed through into the passenger seat to try and talk to him. And he,
right, because that's when you can be reasonable.
Yeah, exactly. Be reasonable with him. I thought, well, you know, he's seen how upset I am with this, so I'll crawl through and sit next to him. As I sat there, he started driving off again. I thought, well, no, you're not. So I opened the door to get out, thinking that he'd then stop and try and chase me. Not what he did was drive off while I was still holding onto the door. I almost ripped the door off its hinges and then drove off with my friend. So I get back on the phone to the police. I go, I was just on the phone to you about being kidnapped by a taxi driver. I've escaped now, but my friend is still being kidnapped. Anyway, about 10 minutes later, I get a phone call from her saying they're at a police station, need to get there now, otherwise they're going to find me and arrest me. So I had to go down and pay about 400 pounds for the privilege of being kidnapped.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's where they said the glass?
Yeah, yeah, and the door, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Things happen to Jimmy.
Well, you'll carry cash from now on. So.
No, I still don't.
Is there any desire to move on to the... I mean, they've gathered so many of your UK buddies for the UK tournament.
No, this is working out in my favor, I think, because if they take everyone else, there's no one left but me. So everyone has to use me, yeah.
I mean, you can't rest on anyone, just be you.
I've always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to do me versus me in a death match.
Come on, Jimmy, I'm in training. You can rest
with
me
every week.
Was it just
me throwing myself through various items that were somehow strewn across the ring?
That sounds pretty entertaining. I'd pay for that.
Yeah, I'd pay for that.
Chapter 55.
Big props to Jimmy Havoc, Kevin Pike, Tom Anstey, the whole drive-thru crew, and our lovely in-studio guests today, of course, Kia Stevens, Marty Elias, Nigel McGinnis. Make sure to follow us on Facebook at Ringside Pop, on Instagram at Ringside_Pop, and on Twitter at Ringside Pop. And we will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Dale Rutledge, and Stephen Lemieux, managing producer for AfterBuzz Wrestling Mark Donica, and the entire Ringside Pop staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in. Like us on Facebook, rate and comment on iTunes and YouTube. Follow the show on Twitter at Ringside Pop. This has been a presentation of the AfterBuzz TV Network. Buzz you later!